Welcome to the conference room with this week's guest, Julie DeLuca Collins.
But you didn't leave a 9-to-5 to work 24/7. So make sure that you're allocating time for yourself to be able to spend time doing the things that you love. The freedom that you desired for your business is only available.
Welcome to The Conference Room, a weekly podcast where business leaders and growth experts kindly share their experiences, actionable tips, and secrets to successfully grow a business. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. It'll really help us out. And I really hope you enjoy this week's episode. I'm Simon Lader. Welcome to The Conference Room. Good afternoon and welcome to The Conference Room. I'm joined by Julie DeLuca Collins. She's the founder and CEO of Go Confidently Services, the host of the popular Casa the Confidence podcast and a weekly radio show, Confident You, which is featured on the 360 Talk Radio, a global talk radio network. Julie is a former C-suite executive, including being National Director of School Services at Huntington Learning Centers and Chief Innovation Officer at a leading New York-based education company. She's an advocate for women of color and is passionate about policymaking, higher education, and entrepreneurship. And I'm delighted that she's found time in her incredibly busy schedule to come and talk to us here in the conference room. Julie DeLuca Collins, good afternoon and welcome to the conference room.
Simon, good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here. I love your show and it's an honor for sure.
Thank you so much. Now, every hero has an origin story and you're the hero of our story. So tell me, how did you get from just starting out to the dizzying heights of being in the C-suite and then pivoting from that into your role now as a broadcaster?
So once upon a time, Simon, I decided that I wanted to be a teacher and follow in the footsteps of many of my family members, but one of the most influential women in my life, which was my grandmother. She started out as a teacher in El Salvador, and she also, well, she owned a school, which is a very important part of the story and to my origin story, but she was very influential. Growing up, I lived in El Salvador, and I saw her really be a leader, be in a place in which she also poured into the lives of other people through her business, through the school, through her endeavors as someone that worked with a lot of non-for-profits. She was a leader in the community. And I wanted to be a teacher because that's what everybody said she was a teacher. So I started off as a preschool teacher, kindergarten, pre-K, and I had a lot of fun doing it, but it was exhausting. It was really tiring. And the other thing too is that I had no life because teachers don't do very well. And I had to get a part-time job to supplement my income. So I was working two jobs and I was exhausted and always really tired. And I knew that I wanted more for my life. I knew that I wanted a lot of freedom. I knew that I wanted to really also continue to grow. And from a very early age, I was always told by this very influential grandmother that I was always a leader, not a follower. And I was very comfortable being taking charge, being in the spotlight. I'm the oldest in my sibling group as well. So that's never been an issue. And then eventually I decided to leave education because it was very tiring and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I did work with middle school students. I had an opportunity to begin working at my church with middle school students, and I helped to start to develop curriculum and programming and a lot of really big things that normally someone that is just fresh out of school is not necessarily getting their feet wet into doing. And, but again, I would always raise my hand. I'd always take a stab at it. I would do all this stuff. And at one point I went to New York and I was recruited to do some work as a grant writer. And this is part of a really important part of the story. For Columbia University, for the Earth Observatory at Columbia University. My dad worked for the Agency of International Development as a contractor, and I grew up watching him do a lot of grant writing and understood the process of submitting proposals and really was involved in that process. Never did it occur to me to maybe pursue that full time, but I was at the right time, at the right place, at the right time, and I was recruited for that, and I really enjoyed it. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I can grow with this organization, is academia the way I want to go? But it really wasn't the right fit. It was kind of like Cinderella, not the shoe that fit. Then I was recruited by someone at Huntington Learning Centers. And one of the things that really called to her and the reason she reached out to me is because I had a couple of different things under my belt as far as experience. I had worked in retail, because of course I had to have that other supplemental job. And I was an assistant manager and then manager for the tabletop department. And I had the top sales in the department. And that's how I was promoted to manager, because I was doing really well in sales. And then I also had the experience in education. In Huntington Learning Centers, for people who are not familiar, it's a great organization. They really are committed to giving every child the best education possible. And I have to say that as an organization, not only do they do that for the students that they serve, but they really take people and really mentor and coach them and grow them from within. So I was placed at one of their local centers, and it was the newest, but also the most poor performing center because it was fairly new. And I really hated that I was in last place. We had a national convention for all the members of the organization, and everybody received great awards, you know, for the most students served, for the revenue also goals, all of these awards. And I thought, oh, I don't like this. And I was in the elevator. I'll never forget this moment. I was in the elevator, and one of the founders, Mrs. Huntington, happened to be there in the elevator. And I turned to her and I said, how do I get to be on stage next year? What's your piece of advice for me? And she said, well, here's the piece of advice. Relationships. Do school visits. Visit the schools in the neighborhood and the schools that typically the students that would be your clients are there, and get the principals, the teachers, the administrators to know, like, and trust you. Just be their friend. And Simon, that's exactly what I did. And the next year I was one of the top centers in a chain of over 40 centers in the New York, New Jersey area and over 400 nationwide. And I was top performing, not only because I had the revenue, but mostly because I had the most referrals. I had the most school visits. I had the best rate of students staying in the program and succeeding. And really that came from building relationships, which is really key. You know, my dad has always been, again, that mentor by my side. And that was the other piece of advice that he always gave me, is you don't know what you don't know, but you do know your network. And it's important to create relationships. And, you know, you and I have connected already, and I love that you're very like-minded in that way. And I think that for me, that origin story is really based on creating the type of relationships that kind of stay with you through the years. Eventually, I grew through the ranks. I was pulled out of being one of the center directors and being pulled into coaching, mentoring, the training department. And then I was at the right place at the right time again. And this happened to be when there was national legislation here in the US that was being rolled out for No Child Left Behind. And the company wanted to expand into a new line of business. And that new line of business required grant writing. We wanted to submit grants to the local education agencies in every state and every local level that we had centers in, so that we can enter into contracts with them and service students at schools, as opposed to parents paying us. And I began to work under the VP of Business Development, and he was another great mentor that really helped me to grow, to learn how to develop business, explore business, and I learned development and operation at the same time. And this is something that a lot of people that go into the workforce, and as they grow, they either grow into the path in which they're in business development or they're in operations. But I was very lucky that I kind of straddled both of these forms of business. And I kept growing through the company ranks. And again, in Huntington, one of the great things that the organization does is that as you begin to go into middle management, upper management, and then the executive room, is you are really mentored and you work with either IT or marketing, all of the different departments and divisions to really learn how to market, grow, and run a standalone business. And that was sort of like a great education that a lot of people pay a lot of money for. Eventually, in my last role with Huntington, I reported to Dr. Huntington and to Mrs. Huntington. She was at the time the COO of the company, and he was the chairman of the board. Also, we had a CEO who I reported to as well. But I, at this point, I was the national executive director that oversaw a complete new business line that had become very profitable for the organization. And I helped to take it from a couple different contracts into 8 years later, over 150 different contracts that I helped negotiate, create, and then helped to set up and operate for our local franchisee owners. And that was something that I was very proud of, because I feel that it's not every day that you are able to help to create something that leaves a lasting impact. And I think of all of the students that got service under those contracts, under the services that we provided, that really went from struggling in school to really being able to receive the types of skills that create the literacy and services for them to open doors overall in their life. So very, very proud of that. And eventually I was recruited by this other organization. And this is an organization that was just based out of New York, but financially they were doing almost as much revenue-wise as Huntington was, with as many different contracts nationwide. And that organization was looking to expand out of New York City. And I had the know-how to be able to help them do that. It was still a very private, small, family-owned business, but was already had grown so tremendously to make the type of 10-figure revenue that, you know, happens rather quickly. And they didn't know how to scale and what would it take to be able to do that. So I came in and I started to help them not only expand out of New York, we went into Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Florida, California, Texas, and really, and New Jersey. And we expanded rapidly again, but in a way that it was very successful. And again, continuing to grow and create services, not only in school districts, but also for non-for-profits. And we expanded to providing services as well for training for teachers. And that was something that I always felt very strongly about, being able to create the support system for the educators that are really in the front lines of education. Sadly for me, I was laid off through the pandemic. Education was hit very hard, and it was something that I was certainly not expecting. I will tell you that what I was expecting, though, is that I had a five-year plan. I had been working a lot with teachers, with programming and emotional intelligence, and really noticing that a lot of women would come to me and say, wow, you know, it's so great. You're so successful. I wish I was as confident as you are. And I just kept thinking, you know, I don't have it all together all the time. But what I do have are the habits. And what I do have is the consistency to keep showing up, even if it's 1% better every single day. And that's what I really strive for. And it's not something that I'm perfect at, but that has allowed me to continue to be where I am. And eventually, when I was laid off, I knew exactly that what I wanted to do was be able to create a space where I helped women find the confidence that it takes to be the CEO of their life and business, and give them the right tools and the right support system that it takes to be able to do that. And this is what I'm doing now. Right. And this is how I landed here. That's my story.
So we'll talk about what you're doing now in just a sec. One thing I'm curious about is, so when you were with this organization in New York, your title was Chief Innovation Officer. What did that involve? What was your role as Chief Innovation Officer?
That's a great question. You know, the name and the role, the founder of the company, she was a teacher when she started her company, and she started it as a side gig. And she was really big on titles, but one of the things is that we could never really find a title that described everything that I did. Because when I first came to the company, I helped them set up IT so that they no longer ran the company out of one AOL account. That was one. Number two, I also worked with a new marketing team. We hired a marketing team to help us develop collateral to put ourselves out there. We developed a new website. So there was a lot of innovation and new ideas that I brought into the company and expanded on the good work that they were already doing. So innovation was always that part. I'm an early adopter. I don't get really easily intimidated by technology, but also when it came to the programming and operating the program was very customizable to the different constituents or districts that we were working with. So I had to innovate the operation part of it as well. And that's why we chose that. We did have a chief operating officer, but a lot of the role, again, because we started as a very small company, very intimate, family owned, the COO did a lot of the financials for the company. We didn't have a CFO. So he kind of undertook that. And I, again, straddled the line between doing operations and development. And we felt innovation was really covered both of it. Before that, my title was VP of training, business development and training, which I did a lot of training of. But again, we wore multiple hats, which happens in a small business. Sometimes you have to wear multiple hats and be very nimble, and titles don't necessarily cover what you're doing and what your role really is.
So it's funny when you say that, because as you know, as well as doing this, I also have my search business. And in my search business, we have one of our early employees referred to as Simon's first rule of recruitment, which is titles mean nothing. Let's put it another way, a job title and a job description are very often very different.
Mm.
So
100%.
That's great. Okay. So fast forward to what you're doing now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're balancing a number of different things. You've got your Go Confidently services, your mentoring services that you do, which we'll talk about in just a second. You're also hosting your own podcast. And you also have a radio show, all right? So
yeah.
The question is, how do you balance all of these things, okay? You're, as I know, an incredibly busy person, right? How do you keep yeah. balls in the air?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the first secret to balancing it all. You don't balance it all. You prioritize. And when you say no to one thing, you're saying yes to another and vice versa. And in the roles that I have, when it comes to the podcast, when it comes to the radio show, when it comes to the Go Confidently coaching is typically how I work with clients, but Go Confidently services is the parent that has the podcast, the radio show, the coaching services, and any other services that we offer under the brand. But really, being able to, number one, identify what are my priorities, not only for myself, also what are my priorities for the business, and what are the things that I'm trying to accomplish. And in an everyday basis, you have to, number one, go back and connect to your goals. And I think that, you know, we're wrapping up the year. I'm not sure when you're airing this, but at the end of December, a lot of people are like, okay, it's December. And then they get excited about planning for the new year. But they've already forgotten about the goals that they had for the year. But really, your goals for the year, when you're breaking down into, I break it down into four quarters, right? I go by quarters. This is, again, the mentality of being in corporate, is that I drive my action daily on what my monthly goals are that support my quarterly, that support my yearly goals. And that's how I really manage it all from day to day. You know, for instance, right now I had an event last night. I was hosting a masterclass. That's for Go Confidently Services. Well, that meant that the stuff that for the podcast or the stuff for the radio show, it's not first priority. And you have to just allocate time. I'm great at time blocking, because your brain, there's research that says that you're either logical or creative, right? And if you're switch tasking from one to the next, then you're not going to be able to do it well. So I really plan on days in which I do content creation, days in which I do the financials for the business, in which I start to do some strategic planning and all of that. So I think that's one of the secrets that I use and I teach my clients, because it's worked very well for me. And I see it now creating an impact on the lives in the businesses of the women that I work with.
That's amazing. I love content. I love time blocking, by the way. It's something I use a lot as well.
Yeah.
It's the same for me in that I've got so many different things coming in, okay, and so many different things that I have to deal with, that unless I block out my time to say, right, okay, between this time and this time, I'm only focusing on this, I find it very, very hard, you know?
Yeah. And Simon, I have to say, you know, that the time blocking for people who are intimidated or not sure how to do it, it's going to be life changing for you. And I tell you that if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't get done. I've trained my husband now, who works in the business. He does his own job, but, you know, he's part-time business owner, business worker. He's learned that if he needs my attention for something, he's got to schedule himself. And it sounds silly, but for as long as we're in the office, he adheres to that practice, and it helps us stay with the momentum that we need in order to accomplish the things that we want to.
Yeah. And we're also, and I can speak from personal experience, that the more interruptions I have, if I'm in the middle of, even if it's something as, I won't say mundane, but it's something that's kind of complex as writing an email, if then I get interrupted by a phone call, by a WhatsApp message, mm-hmm. a Facebook message, a LinkedIn message, someone like coming through the door or whatever, right? And there are so many potential interruptions that if I'm writing this email and then I get interrupted, the likelihood of me going back to that email immediately is almost zero. I'll forget. I'll be on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come to the end of my day. And at the end of my day, I could have 20 or 30 unfinished tasks that I then have to go through. So what I do, as well as doing my very best to time block, I also allocate time at the end of the day to complete all these unfinished tasks, which is why, by the way, if anyone listens to this that gets an email from me around 5 o'clock, between 5 and 6 p.m. Pacific time, I did try to do it earlier. I just got interrupted.
I have to say, you and I are on the same page. It's probably why we get along so well, because that's the thing, right? And here's the thing for your listeners to know. If you get interrupted while you're doing a task, most people think that they can actually multitask. There's no such thing, which says that 98% of people cannot multitask. It really is a unique 2% that can do it. But for the most part, we can't. And if you're interrupted in the middle of a task, it actually takes an average of 17 minutes to be able to gain the level of concentration and momentum that you had in the task prior to being interrupted. So there's a lot of time that ends up being wasted because we have notifications going off. We have this, we have that, we have email open in the middle of the day, and maybe we're working on writing a blog, but then something else is coming up. So I have become very strategic. Email only gets open in the morning and I scan it through. And then if I can answer in less than 3 minutes, you get an answer. If not, you're moving to the end of the day like you.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. You know what? Well, it's funny when people talk about multitasking, I think to myself, I aspire to monotask. You know, if I get good at doing one thing at a time, you know, moving on to two or three, I guess we'll get to that as and when. So tell me about Go Confidently Services. Tell me, you've referred to it a couple of times in the conversation, but tell me, what are the, okay, let me put it this way. When the people, and I understand it's either mostly or exclusively women that you serve, right? So the people that come into Go Confidently Services, what are the key pain points that they're experiencing that you then determine are symptoms of a problem that you can solve? So what are the pain points they're experiencing?
Love it. Well, here is the first step. Number one, so Go Confidently Services, there's a couple different things that we can offer. But the primary service or offering that we have is coaching, business coaching for some amazing women who are trying to grow their business and improve their life, create the consistent income that they desire, right? The other component of, or the other piece of the puzzle there is that, you know, there's three very distinct time or faces in business. And I think that this is where a lot of people kind of struggle. And this has been able to help me diagnose and know how to help somebody. When people come to me, they're going to either fall in the development phase, that maybe they have an idea, they're starting out and they're not sure what do they need to do first, second, or third to start and get their business off the ground. That's number one. Number two, they could be in what I call the operational phase, or they are in that grow it phase. Maybe they've had a business for a few years, they have some systems, some offers, but they're not making consistent income. right? They're really kind of struggling to, they're in that feast, famine, good, bad, some terrible months, some great months. And it's that roller coaster of being an entrepreneur.
Right.
And then there's the third phase, the people who kind of figured it out and they've been doing well, have consistent income, products, services, they delegate, they have staff, but now they're ready to scale. They're ready to go to the next level, whatever that next level may be. So the first thing that I really figure out when someone first comes to me is I identify what phase of business they're in. And then I have three different distinct programs. First, I have what I call Confident You, Build It. And that's for the person who is maybe had a concept, had an idea of something that they wanted to start off and they need to have the support system. How do you get an LLC? What do you use for email? What is email nurture sequences? All of those questions that sometimes entrepreneurs have, I really help and walk you through that Confident You, Build It. That typically is either a one-to-one short stint with me and then the support of group coaching or group coaching alone.
You know,
now
really
the
cool.
Second phase.
Sorry, just
go ahead.
You know what's really cool is that I think, and this is something that I get as feedback for this podcast a lot, is that the amount of times where people who have worked in corporate and then branch out for themselves, the biggest shock that they have is they have to become their own marketing director, operations director, IT director, sales director. You know, they've got to do everything. And if you're amazing at, for example, being, producing something, or you're amazing at selling something, and you think, right, I've done great for this company, I'm now going to do it for myself, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're the guy who is like the deal maker or the seller or whatever, right, who's going to do the procurement? Who's going to negotiate all those offers? Who's going to go and do all that, the legal stuff, like you say, opening a bank account, forming an LLC, or is an LLC the right thing for
you?
Maybe it should be a C corp, an S corp, and then all of the knock-on effects around that. Who's gonna set up your email? You know, who's gonna make sure that the DNS is set up properly? Who's gonna set up your email server? Who's gonna make sure you've got a DMARC certificate? I mean, to someone who
it's a lot.
Not only is it a lot. It's a lot of a lot. There are so many different things that people just getting into business have got no idea.
People don't understand that. People have no idea. And I think that this is, you know, I was very lucky that I helped to build that second company that I worked with. They had started a lot of it, but to really be able to come in and do a lot of the work, it really prepared me for what I'm doing now. Where, and by the way, Simon, I have a motto that I teach my clients, and it's something that has worked for me. And I will tell you, it works for you. It can't work for you. Do what you do best and delegate the rest, right? And perhaps you think, oh, how can I? Because I'm not making money. I can't afford a lawyer. I can't afford this. But you can work with someone that can walk you through the process. You know, there's a lot of different, for instance, I have a lawyer. I have someone that I knew that I wanted to do it correctly and have the right advice. Also from the professional that has been doing this. I trademarked the name of my podcast, by the way. And I said, oh, I've done this in the past. I can do a trademark. I can file it. Of course I could. But that was time that I spent doing that. And when my conditional trademark came in, there was additional stuff that I needed to do. And I was lost. I was like, okay, I'm going to spend a lot of time trying to figure this out. Or I'm going to call my lawyer and say, hey, can you take care of this, right? And that's a lot of what entrepreneurs don't realize. But we need to really be able to find ways of being able to leverage the right resources, because the CEO of a big company is not the one who's sending the initial email. It's not the one who is doing they're delegating to their department heads. And yes, in the beginning, you don't have the team, but you can begin to build the team and you create the systems and you document what your systems are, because your standard operating procedures are the things that once you figure out how you do it, you document it, and then you start to delegate maybe one piece of it that gives you more time to spend in your zone of genius. And then you can bring in more income to allow you to delegate further. And that's really where we move forward.
It reminded me of a conversation I had with Amber Dancy, who was a guest on the conference room back in, I'm going to say the spring or summer of 2021. And Amber is an online business manager and coach, and she's very much into the art of delegating. That's basically what she helps business leaders and entrepreneurs be able to do, how to systematize something and then delegate it. And I remember we had the most incredible conversation. And specifically, I remember she said that one of the biggest frustrations that she has is that the entrepreneurs very often will be reluctant to spend the money on hiring someone to, like, for example, send a bunch of emails, right? Because they're thinking, well, if I do it, I'm saving $14 an hour or $18 an hour, whatever it is, and I'd have to pay someone else to do it. And she said, but they're not saving $14 an hour. When you break down what they're responsible for generating in the business, if you break that down into an hourly rate, their call out rate is $250, $300, $500 an hour, right? So for every hour that they're doing that, rather than them saving $20 an hour, they're actually costing the business $480 an hour. And she said, once she can get people to kind of get their head around that, then everything else becomes easy. It's just how you,
100%.
What your perspective on that is.
So I will tell you that I not wholeheartedly agree with that, but this is something that I also teach my clients, because as we're creating goals for the things that you want to accomplish, and you're creating the things that you need to, the actions that are going to support to moving you toward your goals, we go through a list of tasks. And the reality is that for me, when I'm speaking to a potential client, right, that to me is a very high-end task. It's a CEO worth task, right? Being on your podcast, this is a high-end task for me, because it's creating exposure, authority, is creating network for me. Nobody else in the business can do that. So I show up and put on my calendar the task that only a CEO does. Now, there are some things that maybe I'm not delegating yet. Maybe there's going through the financials, right? I have allocated time in my calendar on Fridays. That's my Friday financial day, because, you know, we time block. But that is not a $14 an hour job. It's $100 an hour. But ultimately, if I am allocating for this low-end money value task, I also need to make sure that I am allocating for the high-end tasks, because those are the ones that bring in the income. And if my goal for the week is to generate $5,000, then I better have the equal amount of tasks that equate to that.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me about the typical sorts of problems that your clients at Go Confidently Services, the problems they typically have.
One of the biggest problems that I see with a lot of them is that they are overwhelmed. And I know that this is a word we throw out a lot, but when it comes to figuring out systems, time management, prioritization, how do you create offers that sell? How do you sell? A lot of that is typical of an entrepreneur that is still hasn't figured out the systems and doesn't have the car running as they should, right? They've built the car, it sort of goes, but it's not fully operational, right? So my goal in helping entrepreneurs, whether they'd be at the build it or at the grow it state, is to really help them take a real close assessment to what are the things that they still need to have in place. Is it the process? Is it the systems? Is it the offers? If it's maybe the marketing machine, maybe you need to create your customer journey and you don't really fully understand that. Because if you trying to do high end, or take entrepreneurs that are caught in this aspirational entrepreneurship, they see the gurus that say, oh, just sell a course for $20 and you're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if you don't have the type of audience to sell that to, you're then going to have to not only build the course, you're going to have to advertise the course, but then pay to advertise the course. So it's costing you. Whereas if you have a product or a service and if you're charging, rather than selling $100 at $20, you're selling two at $500, your income is greater and the amount of effort is different. So I think that's a lot where entrepreneurs don't realize. Can you sell a course at a low ticket item? Of course you can't, but you need to build your audience. You need to set up your credibility. You need to have the systems in place, because if you sell a course, where, you know, you're going to lose the customers if you're not servicing them right. So it's very important to identify that. And that's part of what we go through in our process and in my coaching.
Right. That's amazing. So what three tips would you give for somebody who wants to be successful in this area?
The first thing that I'm going to tell you is consistent action gets you traction. A lot of entrepreneurs lose steam when they get discouraged, when they're failing, when they are struggling with something. So yes, we don't want to live in the gap. So if you're starting at point 1.0 and you want to go to 2.0, don't spend your time, oh my gosh, I am not a 2.0. 2.0, I need to get there. No, concentrate on going from 1.0 to 1.1, 1.2, and celebrate that small progress. That consistent action of showing up 1% better every day is going to get you to 2%, as opposed to trying to go really fast and then having a failure, having a system breakdown, and then you beating yourself up. So that would be tip number one. Tip number two is, again, you want to go ahead and delegate, or you want to go ahead and leverage the resources that are available to you, whether it be a class or whether it be a coach or a consultant or someone that is going to help you. And that, for instance, for me, if I were to build a funnel, I know how, sure, I can spend time doing it. I'll figure it out. But you know what? It's going to take me 5, 6, 7 hours. Whereas I have someone in my team that does it in less than an hour, and it's beautiful, right? And it's working, as opposed to trying to figure out what to do. So again, leverage your resources. Your resources are the most important thing that you will have in your business. And number three, and this may not be very popular, but you didn't leave a 9-to-5 to work 24/7. So make sure that you're allocating time for yourself to be able to spend time doing the things that you love. The freedom that you desired for your business is only available if you allow yourself to have it. Have dinner, stop working, don't check your email at all hours, create the intentional margin. And this is not my phrase. I want to give credit to my friend Katie Jeffcoat for that. But intentional margin is the first thing that should go into your schedule as an entrepreneur. When are you going to start? What time off? When are you, you know, doing the things that bring you joy? Because that replenishes your spirit. And it also helps your mental bandwidth, so that when you are doing the work for your business, for your clients, you're going to show up at 110% for them.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, most people, when they start their own business, they forget that they didn't want to substitute one boss. Dozens of them, right? Your clients 100%. Are not your bosses, they're your clients, and you have to be able to draw the line.
Now, yeah, and you have to remember that you can, one, fire your client or don't hire that client, right? You think, most people think that the people are hiring them, but I have to tell you that for me, clients have to be triple A. They have to be able to afford me, they have to be able to be action takers, and they are going to be amazing individuals who I love and are committed to what, you know, to wanting to change and taking action to make an impact onto the world. And there's a lot of people who need me, who I could probably work with, but if it's going to take a lot of my time and energy and it's really keeping me from doing the things and really making an impact on the life of somebody else, I'm not the right fit for them. And it's okay to say no. It doesn't make you bad. It actually allows you to grow when you say no.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. That's amazing. So what's next for you and for your Go Confidently portfolio?
Well, so for Go Confidently, one of the biggest things that we are really continuing to focus on is really being able to service the clients that we have. We are expanding our group coaching groups. We have two groups right now. We're probably going to expand to more so that we can continue to service the women that need it. The women that are really, and by the way, I say I work with women, but I also work with some really cool dudes. They hire me as a one-to-one coach and we really work individually. And I love them and I have to give them enough props because they're phenomenal, cool dudes doing great stuff out there. But I really want to continue to be able to service my clients and continue to help them create the life that they want in order to make the impact that they desire and be confident at stepping into the role of being the CEO of their life and business. So that's a little bit of what we're doing. We're going to be expanding again also with the radio show. The radio show has been a brand new opportunity. And I love the fact that I'm being interviewed and putting content out there in a global, not that a podcast doesn't do that because it does, but now I'm really meeting a lot of people down under. I am going to be speaking at several retreats and events across the country. So I'm really thrilled for that opportunity as well.
That's amazing. If people wanted to reach out and work with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you can find me on all the socials at Julie DeLuca Collins. You can also go to my website, goconfidentlycoaching.com. But the best way is definitely just check me out on socials and then you'll see the latest things that I am working on and participate. Give me your feedback, ask questions. I am a social person for sure. And being able to interact with others out there, I learn so much from the people that I get to meet.
Great. That's fantastic. Julie, I've got to tell you, I've learned so much in this conversation and it's been such a blast talking to you. And I wish you and Go Confidently, the services, the podcast, the radio show, every success. And you're right, it is December, so I wish you a happy holiday and all the very, very best for 2023. Julie DeLuca Collins, thank you so much for coming into the conference room.
Simon, thank you so much. It has been an honor to be here and you're doing some incredible work. So I love being able to watch what you're doing and really be able to benefit also from the work that you do. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams, Simon. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Coming up next week on The Conference Room, I'll be talking to storytelling sales expert, Michelle Kui.
I think it's really, really important for people to really sit down and hone in on their unique talent. We forget when we look at all these competitive marketing, right? There are so many things, so many people doing the same thing that we do.
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And make sure you visit our website, theconferenceroompodcast.com, to see all the other episodes and to get access to the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your network, or better still, go on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review. It'll only take you a moment, but it'll mean the world to us. And please don't hesitate to tell us which topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. To get in touch, drop us a line in the comment section or send us a message on social media. Just search for The Conference Room Podcast or me, Simon Lader, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok. I'm always open to a conversation. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll be alerted when a new episode goes live every week. Thanks so much for listening to The Conference Room, and until next time, keep talking.